Hello, and welcome to the Succeed Speaking Summer Marketing Camp. I'm Sean Ellis, founder of the Speakers Group and creator of Succeed Speaking, and I'm thrilled that you're here with us as we kick off this first of six sessions that are all about helping you market better and speak more. Today, Alan, Carl, and I, we're going to tackle some of the most important issues when it comes to marketing your speaking business. Alan brings the perspective of both a keynote speaker and also a longtime marketing and advertising professional, over 20 years, as a matter of fact, during which time he founded one of the top 50 digital advertising agencies. He's served as a president of the American Advertising Federation. And I bring the perspective of a booking agent, manager, and marketing consultant to speakers going back to 1999. So together, our goal is to help you avoid some critical mistakes that can undermine your marketing. And then what we really want to do is equip you with some proven marketing tactics and strategies that I promise will set you apart from the majority of speakers out there competing for business. So that is our theme today and through the rest of this camp. Now, before I bring Alan on, let me just go over some important detail. For one thing, this is going to be a very conversational session, and your participation is welcome. I know many of you submitted questions in advance, and we're going to get to as many of those as we can. But if you'd like to submit or ask questions during the program, there are a couple of ways you can do that. One, if you're dialed in through summermarketingcamp.com, then you'll see a question box on the page there, and you can enter your question there. We'll hold those for the end. Also, if you're on Twitter, feel free to tweet your questions or comments. Just add the hashtag #MBSM. Those are the initials for Market Better, Speak More. So add that hashtag #MBSM onto your comment or question, and we'll respond during the call if we can, or we'll definitely tweet back to you after the call if not. So that's that. Also, our second camp session comes up on Thursday at this same time, and you're already registered for that, so you don't have to do anything, but you'll get an email with access details. This next session is going to be a live review of speaker marketing materials, so stay tuned. In this call later on, we'll tell you how to submit your materials for review, so you can be a part of that and get some live feedback if you'd like. And lastly, we're also going to give you a sneak peek at some of the other sessions we've got coming up this month. We're going to be hitting several of the big issues today, and then starting next week and all through June, we're going to be drilling down deeper into some of these topics. So we're not going to leave you hanging. If you don't get all of your questions answered today, there is much more to come, and we'll tell you about that later in the session. So I think those are the general notes. So let me bring on my buddy, my fellow camp counselor, marketing extraordinaire, Alan Carl. Alan, are you here?
I am. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. Things going well for you this morning?
Excellent. Very excited about being in camp today.
Good. Well, I appreciate you being here and working with me on this camp, and I know you're fresh back from the Baja 500, so you're always doing something exciting.
I'm still cleaning the dust off of me, that's for sure. Yeah, that was an amazing and loud event, for sure.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, good. Well, today we'll be talking about marketing. We can talk about the off-road racing offline. But I know it wasn't much more than a year ago that we didn't even know each other. You submitted your materials to the speakers group just along with hundreds of other speakers who send in their materials. But while a lot of these other materials get lost in the shuffle, yours caught my attention immediately. And over the course of this past 16 months or so, we've kind of got to know each other, and we've worked together on a speaking engagement now, and we've hung out in San Diego, and now here we are doing this program together. So that's just kind of a nice story of how a relationship unfolds. But I talked a bit about your marketing approach in a video I did a couple of weeks ago, but I know not everyone has seen that. So just as we kick off here, why don't you talk a little bit about the structure of your marketing campaign that I was on the receiving end, and so were other speakers' bureaus. Just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's great. Now, first thing I think for everybody to understand is that I am not a speaker focused on speaking about marketing. This is my background, but I have a whole different program that my speaking business is about. So I think that's important for everybody to understand that I'm not coming about this to speak about marketing. what my keynote, my speaking business is more inspirational in nature. And when I came into this, I was green from the speaking business, like many of our campers today. So I had had some experience in speaking, certainly from a marketing point of view, but this side of the business totally different. And I knew I needed to make an impression and get the attention of speakers bureaus. That was my first target, because I realized that in order to get, and maybe naively at the beginning, I thought speakers bureaus were the panacea to my being successful in the speaking business. Now, instead of just getting a mailing list of, you know, 500 to 1,000 speakers bureaus, however many there are in our country here, I actually went and did a lot of research, and I focused and targeted a very limited list of speakers bureaus, I think about 50 to 60. And I spent a lot of time at their websites, doing research, Googling, so I could understand the best I could about who the people were in the speakers bureau, what kind of speakers they represented, and you know, what kind of clients they serviced. So with that information, I looked, and in several of these bureaus might have several different agents. So some of those agents may book certain kinds of speakers. Who would be booking my type of program? And put that list together. And once I had that together, I decided that I needed to not just throw everything at them at once. You know, that's a terrible mistake in marketing, of course, is to go ahead and send everything I've got. So I did a campaign that was hit multiple touch points. I used direct mail, I used email, and I used telephone. And Sean, what I did is I sent out a series of postcards, and these postcards were very simple. They had one single message on each one of them, and it was a series of three. And I hand wrote every one of those postcards. My hand definitely had a little fatigue after, you know, you can imagine addressing 60 postcards and addressing each person by name. The message was the same on all those postcards. And after I sent all those postcards, I was kicking off the idea that eventually I would send them a package which would include my video, my DVD. And I clearly had a plan, and did this in 3 weeks, postcard, postcard, postcard. Right after the third postcard, they got a package with my DVD, and then right after that, they got an email that tied back with the same look and feel as those postcards and that DVD, and then finally I called every single one of them several times.
Yeah, and I think that series there, the fact that it was spread out, that's one thing that stood out to me. I mean, the first postcard, that handwritten postcard, captured my attention, but that would have, if that's all there was to it, then it would have been there and gone. We probably wouldn't be talking today, but it was the follow-up there, that sequence, that persistence and the consistency. Those are the things that you know, that made it work, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, and the key thing, of course, was I had all this queued up ahead of time, so I knew what the plan was, and I knew that I needed to be consistent. Each of those postcards, the handwriting, the look, the color, you know, the message was consistent all the way across to that final email. And as you know, that's what got us talking to each other and eventually got us working together with your clients.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I know that's the goal. And I guess, you know, I would say, From my standpoint, being on the receiving end, I think the beautiful thing about a campaign is if it's tailored to the point that the person who receives it feels like they're the only one that, you know, that it felt to me as if I was the only one who was getting that. I mean, of course, I knew that wasn't the case, but that feeling there, as opposed to so many other materials I get, emails from speakers, if I get a either a letter or an email that says, you know, dear bureau partner or dear bureau friend or prospective speaker bureau, Then to me, I mean, that's, I don't know if I even get past those words most of the time. So that's another key point, I think, there.
Yeah, definitely. I found that, in fact, one of the when I made my follow-up calls, now I finally they could put a voice and a personality behind that. But I one person said, well, I feel I already know you, Alan. And another woman at one of the bureaus said, geez, what font did you use? Did you handwrite that, or is that a font? You know, in my handwriting. And believe me, I don't have good handwriting. But she couldn't believe that I took the time to personalize that. And I think that's a real important thing, because this business is about relationships.
Right. Yeah. I think it's something that this really it sounds so basic, or maybe it does, I don't know, but handwriting cards, I mean, it's not rocket science, but it really does make a difference. It really does stand out. So as even if someone is thinking, well, I could do that, I mean, I think that's the point, is anyone could do it. But again, on the bureau side, from what I see, and if what I see is representative of what's going out to planners and other clients too, because this session is by no means, this isn't about how to market to bureaus. This is just about marketing, period. But if you just invest that little bit of extra time and energy and thinking through it, it really makes an impact. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, well, it certainly worked for me, and obviously I've been successful in my speaking business here. Of course, I would always like to be more successful, like all of us, and do more gigs. So I continue with my marketing and continue to target different groups with similar type of activities.
Yeah, good. And by the way, your campaign, you know, you mentioned sending out to these 50 or 60 bureaus, and it actually worked to get you into some of the top bureaus in the country, right? I want to make that clear. It wasn't just an isolated incident that it worked with the speakers group. I mean, you managed to get your foot in the door with some major players in the industry.
Yeah, that's right. And I've established relationships with more than a dozen bureaus out of that group. And that, you know, for those of you who understand the percentage of marketing, you know, your success rates are usually 2-3% in a direct marketing kind of situation. But I certainly exceeded that, because it was extremely targeted and extremely focused. But I've been booked by several of these bureaus, and many of these bureaus have me on their website and pitch me to their, you know, to their clients. And that's the biggest hurdle from at least a speaker's bureau, and from any other target audience, is getting to be in that short list, that consideration. And you know how speaking business, some of these events that corporate associations, nonprofits put on are a year or two out. I mean, I've got a gig booked in September of 2012, and that was booked about 6 months ago. And so some of this stuff doesn't happen right overnight, but the planning that goes on into a large scale event like that sometimes is 2 years in advance.
Right. Yeah, I think the long term nature, the long term outlook is something important to note, because, you know, I mentioned that it was almost exactly a year from the time I got your first postcard to the time we booked a date together. And, you know, some speakers may hear that and think, oh, geez, it took a year, all that work, and it still took a year. I mean, that's just kind of the way things unfold. And there's another speaker that someone who's become a great friend, but she was first introduced to me, this goes back several years. It took 2 years for us knowing each other before we got to work together on our first date. And then now, all these years later, she's gone on to be one of the speakers I book the most in over my whole career. So it does take time. So that's, I would say to anyone who's doing this kind of marketing, reaching out to bureaus, or if you've got some really hot clients that you'd like to win their business, stick with it. That's why those multiple touch points are important, because it does take time.
Yeah, it's funny. I I was in New York City in the midst of doing this campaign, I think, when the email portion of that, so that was my fourth touch point, was out. And I actually had a speaking engagement. I'm in California, but I was in New York City. And a friend of mine who I was staying in his apartment in New York City, he's an Everest climber. He's climbed six of the seven peaks, the seven summits on each of the continents. He hasn't done the Everest yet. And he also went through a period where he lost, you know, a couple hundred pounds. I mean, he's had some amazing life changes and inspirational and very in a nature. And he has pondered this idea that maybe once he finishes these summits, he'd like to be a speaker. And there I am in his apartment in New York City. I'm in the midst of speaking to a financial firm in Midtown, but I'm also doing the next phase of this marketing campaign that you got, Sean. And he pulls me aside at dinner that night and says, geez, with all the work you're doing, I'm not sure I could do that. So I think it does take work, and you have to be committed to that, and you got to stick to it. And, you know, unless you've got a staff and you're running a larger organization, you know, you need to be prepared to put in the hours and the time and to commit you to doing that.
Right. Yeah. Before we move on from the campaign and get into some other issues, could you sum it up into, if there were maybe three critical elements that you would say that contributed to your campaign success, or three points that you really wanted to make sure your campaign included, just for people who are listening, if they wanted to try to model this, what would be three things you would say are most important?
Well, I think in any campaign, you need to, first of all, you have to have a campaign, and there has to be an overlying message. It usually should be single-minded in purpose. Certainly, you can have some supporting messages. So number one, I think, is I was very focused. The message was clear, you know, who I was, what I was doing, and, you know, what why this was important to the audience. Focus was the first thing. I didn't try I took a target approach as opposed to the shotgun approach. The second thing is, and working in the advertising marketing business for so long, you know, it's always people tend to want to tell everybody everything. You know, if you're selling a product, you got to talk about every feature. You want to drill into specifications if that's it. But what I did is I kept it simple. I did not have a lot of information. It was very simple, and I had a very clear call to action. And that call to action, Sean, wasn't, hey, book me now. You know, This call to action related to receiving further materials and getting more insight into how my particular keynote would be of a benefit to them, and my background would be to their clients. So the second thing is keep it simple and have a good call to action. And, you know, the third thing, and this is something that sounds easy, but it is probably the most difficult thing, is to establish a differentiator, you know, and not only to just simply, not to be different for the sake of being different, but really what I, since I'm an inspirational speaker, and there are plenty of us out there, so why am I different than any other inspirational speaker? So I had to really drill into my programs, into my my topics of what I talk about, and how that related to me personally. The brand here is me, Alan Carl, World Rider, and I'm not the marketing guy. I'm not pitching marketing. I'm inspirational. I'm trying to encourage people to take chances, accept risk, and to trust themselves. So these are some of the key components of mine, but there's probably 100 speakers that could say that. So why am I different? What is it that I bring to the party? And really made sure that came out in my marketing campaign. So, you know, I had the focus. I didn't put too much information in my piece, and I had a clear differentiator. And most important, I was consistent. And I think those are critical ingredients to any campaign success, whether you're a speaker or you're selling a soft drink or a computer.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And talking about the uniqueness, maybe let's dive into that a little bit. You had something unique, have something unique in that you rode around the world, spent 3 years on a motorcycle, and I can't say that I've seen that before, and you've got these stunning images from it, great stories. Not everybody has done that, obviously, but I really believe every speaker is that unique. There's only one you, and it doesn't have to be riding your motorcycle around the world. I think it's if you really tap into what are you passionate about, what is your purpose, and then from that you bring out what's unique about you. How do you translate that into marketing? Let's say somebody that, you know, they don't have this this something, they haven't ridden their bike around the world, whatever. How do you pull out what is unique about you and then integrate that into your marketing? What would you say if you were the marketing consultant, or you were going to lead the marketing campaign for somebody, how would you go about that, or how would you advise someone on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Sean. I mean, as speakers, because we're individuals, yes, we can use the word, we are a product, we're selling a product, and that's our product is that service. Of whether you're a keynote speaker, whether you do training, whether you do workshops, however your business is. But we are the sum of our experience. And it's, in my case, yeah, great. I rode my motorcycle around the world. I mean, some think still I'm absolutely nuts. But what did that really give me? It wasn't the fact I rode a motorcycle, but I have the experience. And each speaker has experience that is valuable to the client. And the real challenge for all speakers, and if I was a contracted marketing person by a speaker, as I want to drill down, look at that experience and find out what's unique, what's different, and then drill it down to a message. And why does that matter to a client, whether it's a speakers bureau meeting, a planner, association? The first thing I would do is sit down and really get to understand the unique nature of that speaker's business. What is the message? And from there, of course, you know, I would say let's identify as who would be interested in this and what is the ultimate benefit. You know, we need to be benefit-driven in our marketing as opposed to feature-driven, and that's simply a matter of just looking at things a little bit differently. Once you really understand your audience, what the target audience is, what the hot buttons are for them, you can find what that benefit is in your pitch. And you don't want to have 15 benefits. You really, you know, in as much as we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff today in this marketing camp, and I know it'll be tough for everybody to retain all the things that we discuss, but the idea in any meeting or event is to have a one or two takeaways that people will bring home and actually provide value to that person. So you really want to focus on finding the key benefit to the client. And then once you have that, you need to make a plan on how you can take that message, communicate that benefit to that particular audience, and establish a framework. I mean, it's and look at all the various touch points that you can hit that audience with, and make sure each of those touch points that you market to them, you're consistent in that message and delivering that benefit.
Good. Yeah, I hear planning coming up a lot. I know you mentioned about your initial campaign, how the whole sequence was planned out, and you mentioned it again, and you've said that in marketing that failing to plan is basically planning to fail, right?
Oh, clearly, I think in most everything in life. I mean, we could probably come up with an inspirational speaker that's their message. I mean, that's very, you know, that's a single-minded person. Let's plan. I mean, in order to have an effective campaign, a marketing program, you really need to identify clear objectives as the big part of your plan, I think. And then from there, how do you achieve those objectives, and how do you measure whether or not you've achieved those objectives? So the plan isn't merely a calendar. Today I'm going to mail the first postcard, next Monday the second, et cetera. The plan is also, how am I going to measure whether my time and energy and the money I invested in this is going to provide me a return? It may be a long time, as you know. We talked about a year till I got that first gig. But, you know, there is a way to measure your success, and you need to build that into your campaign. Some people it may be as simple as, I want to add more fans or likes to my Facebook page. Well, if that's one of your objectives, write that down, and then you at least have a baseline to measure to. So planning is not only your calendar of event, your calendar of marketing activities, your tactical approach, but it's also your the way you measure the effectiveness of that campaign, so that at least as you embark on maybe a second phase or a new campaign, you've got the right data to see how you can continue to improve. I mean, you're always tweaking and tuning, just like those guys down in Baja, you know, with their engines on their trucks and the cars. You know, you're going to tune it to get it just right. So that's important. So if you don't have a plan, and then you don't, you know, have a way you can measure the effectiveness of that plan, you're going to be, it's like playing the lottery. You're probably going to fail. And if you win, it's one in a million or multi-million on that.
Right. And I would just insert here, we are going to give some free tools and more training on this over the course of the camp. For instance, we've got the Succeed Speaking Marketing Matrix that will help in the planning and some other tools along the way. I think it's important to state the obvious here, is that most speakers are not marketing gurus, don't aspire to be marketing gurus, and really, you know, shouldn't be. It's creating and delivering whatever your content is. That's where you should spend most of your time. And the whole idea with this camp is not to, for you to come out of it with some kind of marketing guru certificate, but it's really to, between what Alan is sharing here and anything I can chime in, to give you some best practices and maybe set up some guidelines to keep you on the right path, so you can spend more time doing what you love to do and kind of have these quick points of reference that'll keep you on the right course with your marketing. So that's kind of what this is all about.
Hey, you know, Sean, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. One of the things that maybe I could bring to the party and offer the group is, you know, in traditional discipline in the marketing advertising industry, when you meet with a client, you sit down and prepare a creative brief or a strategy brief. It's a simple list of questions, some of the things I've been talking about here, that can at least help guide you through to ask you the questions you need to identify before you even get into the developing the plan, doing the creative and that. And a creative strategy brief used by the largest agencies in the world. So I'd be happy to make that available. And it's a great tool to use to help you focus and develop your campaign.
Okay, awesome. No, I think that would be great. And so we'll talk more about then how that you can get involved in the rest of the camp a little bit later in the call. For I guess the last question here before we shift gears a bit, when you were looking to break into this speaker space, you come into it with your 20 plus years of marketing experience. When you were looking around at your quote competition, you mentioned all these other inspirational speakers out there. What are some of the common mistakes you noticed? And I know you've touched on a few of these, but maybe just some that you want to really put the spotlight on. Some things you saw that if you had a chance to advise those speakers, that you would steer them away from.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know what I did initially, and very new to the speaking business, is I even before I knew what a speaking bureau was, I, you know, looked at some speakers out there, particularly in my kind of space, and to see how they were presenting themselves. And what I found is, you know, there's a handful of people I could say, well, that is really good. They look good. They sound good. They appear to have a professional appearance. And I think that probably the first thing I noticed is a lack of professionalism. Now, that's not from a point. I'm sure they're professional and they're successful, but they don't look that way. And, you know, in as much as many of these, many of speakers out there, probably, depending on what you speak about, if you're in business, for example, you know, you're going to dress the part. You're going to, you know, focus on the clothes you wear, you know, make sure that you're a guy to make sure that you're clean shaven, that your appearance, you don't slouch, you know, all these appearance things. But I didn't find that they probably spent that much when it came to their marketing, whether it was their website. I found that too often these speaker websites I saw were horrific in getting a clear message across. I mean, there was so much information. I could go to a website and, you know, there would be, you know, if we were to look at the real estate of number of words per screen square pixel, I mean, it would be way too much. How could anybody get any information out of a website with that much information? So I think that their website and their marketing materials, even their one sheets that many speakers have for downloaded, they lack focus. It was very, you know, it looked like they were just blasting all the information out at you. It was all way too much that you couldn't get one of those takeaways that I'm talking about. The second thing is I felt that that many were, you know, the were inconsistent, I guess. You know, even the one sheet that I downloaded used different colors, different fonts, different messages than, say, their website. And in those cases where I could download further information, you know, their biography that was a downloadable PDF file was a different biography than I saw on their website. You know, the consistency was like the biggest violation of marketing that I could say in many speakers. And it's such an easy thing to fix.
Yeah. Good. I think that kind of advice is priceless. It's the kind of thing that can easily be overlooked. I mean, I know I run a business. I'm, you know, definitely a marketing enthusiast. I've got a bit of background in marketing, but still all these things, you have to pay attention to them, and it's easy to let some of these things slip by, but paying that attention,
yeah,
and going, making the extra effort there, again, it does make a difference, and you really, you just, you don't know how big of a difference it does make until you see a couple side by side where one person did it right, dotted all the I's, and the other person skipped a few steps.
And, you know, the other thing, you know, not to continue on this track, I know we got a lot of time, but the other thing I noticed is that even those speakers that were professional and looked right, and even those that were lacking that, you know, polish that I think we should at least look at, is that they all kind of looked the same. There was no real way that I could tell the difference between this speaker and that speaker. I think there's, you know, we have this syndrome, one of these marketing syndromes that people fall into, and that's the I want to be like Mike, you know. So a lot of us will try to emulate because someone else was successful, but the problem with that is then you don't have, and you're not highlighting what's different. You're a differentiator. You need to be unique. You know, a lot of those that are very professional put style before substance and content, I think, is what I'm saying. So I believe that you, as a speaker, need to come back, way back to where we were talking about planning, understanding why you're different, and make sure that you're professional and you communicate that clearly and stand out from the crowd by highlighting that differentiator.
Good. And I think probably one thing that maybe is important to insert here is all of these things. It's a lot to take in one session, as you mentioned earlier, Alan. But it's, you know, it's, we don't want you to be discouraged out of this and you know, thinking about your materials and thinking, well, I'm striking out here and here, or whatever it may be. But this isn't about being perfect. I know, again, I make plenty of mistakes. I'm sure you do, Alan. We all make mistakes. We don't get anything perfect, but it's about making progress. And if you can take one nugget out of this, and you know, you may not be in a position where you can just overhaul everything you're doing from a marketing standpoint. I know some people here are just getting started, so you can use this from day one. But if you tweak even one thing and just make one little thing better, that incremental improvement really does make an impact in the results that you see.
Yeah, I mean, there is the adage, you know, showing up and suiting up for the game is the hardest part. So, but now that you're there at the on the field, that's when you can again start playing and improving as you go. I mean, I have this concept that I used to inspire my employees when we worked, and that was CMI, and that was continuous measurable improvement. So you don't have to come out of the gate and do all these things at once, but continuously, and you know, improve it, and also a way you can measure so that you can see measurably how you are improving in your marketing and your business.
Right. Very good. All right. Well, I know you've got some questions you want to ask me. We've got questions from the audience. So we'll shift gears a bit. I'll let you take the mic and ask questions. Let me just insert here, go ahead and tell you a little bit about Thursday. Thursday's session is at the exact same time as today. We'll get you the access details. But if you'd like us to review your materials, it's as simple as just emailing them in. Email us an attachment or a link to your website, and everything is on the table. We're predominantly probably going to be thinking about things like your one sheet, your website. But if you can send us a link to it, if you want us to take a look at your video, email it to materials@summermarketingcamp.com. That's materials@summermarketingcamp.com. We'll put them in random order, and we'll get through as many as we can on Thursday. So that's what's coming up on Thursday, and then also we'll tell you more on Thursday about what's coming up with the remainder of the courses, because we've got so much to talk about today. So we'll give more details on that Thursday. But all right, Alan, I'll let you go for it as far as the questions, and I'll do my best to answer.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I wish I could have had this opportunity before I started on my speaking business, but getting somebody like you on the phone as a new and up and coming speaker is very difficult. So what a great opportunity. So, you know, first thing I have, you know, looking at your video, for those of you on the in camp today, if you haven't seen this video and the number of packages that a speaker bureau probably receives in a given week or month, it's amazing. So how many would you say, Sean, unsolicited package you get in a month?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't count them, I have to say, but it varies. I would estimate, and if we count email as part of that as well, because on the website, I discourage speakers from sending in their materials just because of that stack you see there. I'd have to get more office space or a warehouse to house everything. So between the emails and the materials, it ranges from, I would say, 20 to 50 speakers a month who approach us, you know, in one way or another, asking us to look at their materials.
So probably at least one or two a day. How many? I mean, that's a lot, and I'm sure they probably are packed with information, as we know. How many do you read?
This may be discouraging to anybody who sends in their materials, but maybe a couple a week, realistically, and it really depends on. Again, email is best. We've got a form on our website where people can submit their link and tell us a little bit more about them. That's the easiest way. I mean, that form is designed to help us, but also for the speaker to give the speaker the best chance to concisely present what they're about and what they're looking for. But if I see something that strikes my interest, you know, I may click through to their website or or watch a video. If I get a packet that's, you know, one of these big envelopes that's like a half an inch thick with their full life history in there, that's something I don't even take a look at because I don't know where to start. And I would say, I guess on the range we have, you know, we've got those big packets on one end, then on the other end, we've got these postcards that, let me actually just, I'm staring at them right now. These postcards that are just packed with information on both sides that they don't have a campaign. So it's one postcard is all I get. And some of them I throw away. Some of them I save as bad examples. I saved your postcards as good examples. But these one-off postcards, that really, I can't really do much with that either. But there's just to say what does cut through the crowd. I just got an email this week, and actually let me see if I can pull it up here. It was an email from somebody I didn't know, but the subject line was connecting with the speakers group, and he said, you know, a friend of mine recommended the speakers group as a great bureau, so I thought I'd quickly introduce myself. And then he said, I show audiences how to, talks a little bit about that. Here's a link to my short video. My website is here. Please let me know if you're at all interested in working together. That got it, you know, it got me to open the email, connecting with the speakers group. That sounds kind of personalized. And I emailed back to him, it wasn't quite as personalized as it first appeared. But just, again, that's something that other than, you know, it said, hi, Sean. It didn't say, dear Bureau. So those are the ones that get a chance to be, you know, the one or two that I look at during the week.
Okay. So then to get your attention beyond that personalized and not sending a two-inch stack of, how can a speaker capture your attention? What would be maybe one or two things that you would say would be most important in order to at least, you know, capture your attention there?
Yeah. Well, let's using this example from this week again, this personalized email, I did click through to look at his website, and the website, actually, the first thing I was looking for was the professionalism, and it's really about, could I send one of my clients to his website? If I'm going to recommend this speaker, can I confidently send my client there and feel like his or her materials are solid enough that they represent that speaker well and represent me well? So that's part of it, just the image, what the materials look like. You know, going back to your materials again, those postcards, very nice, full color with the photos, and then when your packet came later that had the consistent image, all of those things matter because what I'm thinking about is, first of all, you know, maybe somebody who just sends in paper that's just printed, copied at Kinko's, whatever it is, it's ugly, maybe that would capture my attention and somehow topically it's of interest to me. But if the materials aren't there that I can recommend that speaker to a client like today, then it really doesn't matter because, you know, I don't have time unless somebody wants to, you know, to hire me as a consultant to help them put their materials together. There's no way that I can recommend them to a client. So it's a dead end at that point.
Yeah. The professionals, and if they show initiative to invest in their materials and in getting to know a little bit more about you, it sounds like that might be, you know, the best way a speaker could improve his chance to be at least noticed by you and booked ultimately down the road.
Yeah, right.
You have to be noticed in there. You know, how, you know, beyond the materials coming in, how do you find the speakers you work with?
Most of the speakers I find, they come in either through referrals from speakers who I know and trust. If a speaker friend of mine says, you know, hey, you should really check out Jill or whoever it may be, that gets my attention because I trust that speaker, so I know that speaker. If they recommend somebody, I know that they've got, you know, they know what I'm about. They've got my interest in mind. So that's one way. Referrals from clients, that's always a good thing. If a meeting planner tells me, hey, we had this other speaker on our program, you should really look at them, that tells me something. And then beyond that, it's, you know, I'm always reading blogs or, you know, Fast Company. I specialize a lot in the business sector. So BNet and some of these other sites, the Open Forum, where there's a lot of business content. I'm always looking there for somebody that's got an interesting take on a topic or just somebody that looks interesting. But that's where I usually find speakers, and that's why I don't spend so much time on the incoming materials, because you want to work with a speaker who you're excited about, or I should say I do. And if I find somebody that that I can be excited about, then I know there's better chances of success there, versus if somebody comes in and they don't show that they care too much about me, if it's just unsolicited, let me blast it out there. If they don't share that they care too much about me, then I don't feel too inclined to care too much about them in terms of cutting through the clutter. Why should I give them my limited amount of time? And that's, I guess, being blunt, but just being honest as well.
Sure. I mean, there's a phone book worth of speakers out there. So obviously you've got to be selective, and that just makes it more important, why speakers need to focus and spend the time and energy to get their chances as high as they possibly can to be noticed. And obviously there's a lot of ways you can do that. But, now that you've got, you've got a stable of speakers, you maybe found someone either that did somehow break through your clutter, or you discovered them on a website, and now you're going to talk to a planner. Now, what do planners want when they first, what do they want to see when they first come across a speaker?
Yeah. I asked this. I just did a survey just here in the last couple of months, and I'm always trying to check in with our clients and with the planner community to see what they're looking for, and so we can tailor our website and materials accordingly. And this survey, what I found was the majority, 58% of planners surveyed said video is the first thing that they're going to look at when they come across a prospective speaker. That's whether I recommend them or whether they just come across somebody on their own. The video is the first thing most of them are going for. And after video, the responses were scattered. Some said presentation topics, some said bio, but video was the only clear front runner there. And also, I just came across some stats just today. Actually, somebody tweeted this that said that online video, this is a study from Cisco, that they've found, or they're projecting online video, the viewing of online videos will double by 2015. And a lot of that's related to the consumer side. But I think it just all goes with iPads. We're just all used to this more engaging medium. So I think that plays into the video, why video is so important. We're used to seeing videos everywhere. So why not, when you're looking at a speaker, on top of that, a video is what demonstrates potentially how this person is going to be on a planner's stage. So I think video is critical. The survey showed that video is critical, and that's definitely where we're shifting our attention now as we carve out some new things to make sure the video is front and center for clients.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that in the beginning when I came out of the gate as a speaker, when I first started my research, I realized that if I didn't have a good video that showed me in the best light, regardless of how good and focused my campaign and my marketing was, that ultimately I'm going to have to deliver on that. So a good point. Yeah, video is so important. Now, when planners or your clients, obviously they're not all meeting planners, but when a client or a planner approaches you, do they have a specific speaker in mind, meaning is it name recognition, brand recognition, or are they looking for a topic? In other words, is your business, what percentage of your business is consulting and recommending versus just giving the planner what he or she thinks she needs?
Right. I would say it's probably 95% consulting, because a lot of times, even if somebody comes in and they do have a speaker in mind, maybe they found somebody on our website, usually they just found someone who, based on the little bit of information they can gather, they think that person is a fit, versus somebody that you know, we had a client that they came in a little bit ago asking about Pat Riley because, you know, the Miami Heat in the NBA playoffs. So in that case, they've got a specific person they want and a specific purpose in mind. But that's really rare. Most most clients I find, it's even if they give a speaker name initially, it's a particular topic, a particular budget, particular theme. That's what's really under that, and when I ask questions and try to get a little bit deeper into what is it that you want to accomplish in your meeting, what's a successful event for you, sometimes it's not that I want to steer them away from whoever they found on the website. Sometimes that is the right speaker, but through those questions, I'm always trying to either validate that, yes, you did arrive at the right speaker, or actually, based on what you said, it sounds like this speaker or these few speakers might be a better fit for you. So it's very much based on consulting.
That's good to know. So even more important that a speaker quickly communicates what his or her topic, theme, and benefit is. So at least when you are in that consultative mode, you want to be able to pull top of mind right away. Yeah, geez, you know, Alan. It's always Alan, all right? Alan would be great for that.
Yeah.
So that just reinforces some of the things I've found. Great. So then from a topic or theme, you know, obviously this is business and, you know, trends change, but what topics are clients looking for? And while you answer that, does a speaker have to be specific in that topic, or how does that work? So, you know, what are they looking for, and then how do you match that to a speaker?
Sure. And first, just to clarify, as far as does a speaker have to be specific in that topic? Are you meaning as far as a speaker specializing in a particular niche, or do you mean more about lining up with the client? I just want to make sure I understand that correctly.
Yeah, no, I guess it is. You know, maybe you've got a client that is, you know, they're having a sales conference. So most of the audience are going to be salespeople. Now, the theme of that conference may be, you know, going for the touchdown, let's say. And, you know, at that point, is the client, meaning the topic, does it have to be a salesperson, or would you, or is there another speaker maybe that offers a communication and communication skills or productivity, you know, because all of these things may relate also to sales, let's say. It's just a matter of, you know, how are they topic driven, and then do the speakers you recommend, you know, have to be so niched that they won't be considered otherwise.
Good. No, I understand that. In some cases, the client really is, they've got this very concrete, very narrow view or focus on what they're looking for in a speaker. But just as an example, I've got a sales meeting in the works right now that initially, based on the initial information the client sent in, I thought a sales speaker sounded like this one particular speaker. I know I thought he sounded like a perfect fit for them. And then once I talked to the client and then she went back and met with her committee, they came back and they said for this sales meeting, they're actually more interested in an inspirational speaker, somebody who can address risk, taking risks, and they've undergone a lot of change in the organization. So in this case, now we've got a sales meeting, but the speaker they're going to bring in is not really a sales speaker at all. So that's just one example of the way that unfolds. But I would say, as far as topics, again, my focus is primarily on business type topics. So speakers on change, leadership, and sales, those are some big ones. But also, I mean, it never fails. Motivation and inspiration, that's always a big one. And even after the economy and people are more focused on, you know, making sure there's some real outcomes there, it didn't really change the topic so much. It just changed that, okay, we need a motivational speaker, and we need to make sure that what they're going to share is solid and will keep our people motivated for the next year or something like that. And I saw recently, and you and some of those with us today may have seen this, there was a survey done by Meetings and Conventions magazine last year, and they asked planners, what are the big topics? And 69% of them said motivation is a topic that we look at for our meeting. So motivation is still big, and then from there, then you know get into some of those specific topics.
Sure. Well, my list of questions could go on for quite a while, Sean, and I know we've got a lot of things to cover on here, and I know some other of our audience had submitted questions, so I'll save those questions for another session. But that's good information, not only I'm sure for the campers here, but for me too, for sure.
Right. Okay. Good. And I know too, we're going to try to keep this session to an hour. I know we're coming up on that now, but we want to make sure we get to some of your questions. Do you have a few more minutes to stick with us, Alan?
Yeah, I'm happy to stick around. And I did get a preview of some of those questions that the camper submitted, so I'm here.
Okay. All right. Good. So if those of you who are listening, if you have to run, again, remember how to submit your materials. It's materials@summermarketingcamp.com, and then also just make sure you're back with us Thursday. There's gonna be a lot to learn as we go through these materials. In any case, but then we're gonna talk more about some of these free tools that are gonna be given away over the course of the rest of the camp, and really, you know, we're kind of all over the place today about marketing, branding, messaging, and we're going to focus more on, spend some more time, plan ourselves on some of these topics over the rest of the camp. So this is almost a kind of a let's get acquainted with what the big issues are, and then we'll really dive into some of these later on. Do you want to say anything more about Alan? I know that you've got just some awesome stuff, and that's why I've said for a long time that to succeed speaking, you have to succeed marketing, and that's why I've focused. Succeed speaking is really all about the business of speaking. Marketing is a big part of that, and that's why I was excited to join up with you to create this program, just because I believe the topic is so important, and you've just got some great stuff to share. But you want to say anything quickly about your thoughts on where we're headed over the rest of the camp?
Yeah. First of all, as passionate as you are as about helping speakers succeed, I am a passionate marketeer for sure. And over the last 20 years, I've helped a number of clients, big and small, get more focused and improve their marketing, improve their business, and increase their sales. And a lot of what I've been talking about today, you know, it's strict marketing discipline, and there is a process that I go through with every client and to help them succeed. And over the series of the camp, we're going to focus on the several components of that process so that the campers here can put that together for themselves, go through the process and help refine and improve their marketing so they can speak more. That's something I'm looking forward to getting into a little more detail here.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know, and we'll like we've touched on a lot already. We'll touch on some more topics here as we go through some of these questions. So let's turn our attention to that for now. And the first question we'll hit is from David. David asks, "How do I find out to whom I should market?" And I should say at this point too, we've got a variety of people on this call, speakers at different levels. Some who are just absolutely getting their businesses started. Then we've got speakers on the other end who have been speaking for a long time that are just looking for tips on how to get better. And I think actually everyone we can all learn from one another here, regardless of which category you're in. But I know David's question, he's not the only one that has that question. How do I find out to whom I should market? And my first, you know, reaction to that is to, you know, you really have to know who you are, what you're passionate about, who is your target audience, who is your content designed to help, who do you want to help, those sorts of things. We've got to start there, and then that will shed some light on who you're, you know, who you should be marketing to. But when you put your marketing guru hat on, Alan, what do you say when someone asks that question?
Yeah, I say that if you don't know who your audience is, you really need to look in yourself a little bit more, you know, do some serious introspection there and dissect your program. You know, understand what is your key benefit and differentiator. Okay, and once you do that, now ask who would be interested in that? Why would anyone care? And who are they? This is the way you'll help identify your target market, because you really, I mean, classic marketing is if you don't know who your audience is, you need to look at your product, and the product needs to be obviously targeted, refined to that particular market group. So definitely look at what you're doing, understand your, what the benefit is there and how you're different than someone else, and then who would be most interested in that. And then from there, you'll find your, you know, who your target customers might be.
Okay, good. And again, we'll drill into this deeper, I'm sure, as camp goes on, how to ask the right questions to identify your market, and I think that'll probably also go into that strategy brief that you're going to offer. Going on to the next question, we've got another question from another David, different David. Actually, a David I know, a good friend of mine, he's on the line with us today. So, hi, David. But he said, you know, since I'm not the first name people think of when they want time management training, how do you, and part of the question cut off there, but I think he wants to know, since he's not the first name people think of, maybe there's another speaker that would come to mind. How do you work in that kind of environment, that kind of situation? And let me turn that one over to you, Alan, because I think you can probably shed some light on that. It's really not so different than pick a product, pick a service. It's a crowded marketplace. A lot of people, things look alike. How do you stand out? How would you handle that?
Yeah, you know, there's some common rules in marketing, some well-known rules in marketing, and one of the rules in marketing is that not two people can own the same word in the customer's mind. You know, just to give you an idea, you know, we could say that depending on where people are from, when you think of the department stores as a group, you think of service. When it comes right down to service, you know, I think it'd be, for those of you who know Nordstrom, I mean, that's something they've harped on for years. That they pretty much in that business own that, in as much as Volvo probably in the auto business owns the word safety. But two cars can't be the safe car. So, you know, my point to David would be is you don't really want to be the second name in time management, but the key thing would be to identify what makes you different and dig deeper into that message and come up with a word or a phrase you can own. You know, if you can't be number one in a category, create a new category. So maybe time management is a really broad category. There's a lot of things within time management we all need to do. We need to be better at email. Let's just, for example, I mean, I don't know. I think most of us are just overrun with email. And how do we keep up with it, be effective, and make sure it doesn't slip through the cracks? So maybe you are the, you know, the time management, how to get more email done in a specific amount of time, for example. And again, I'm just, this is a very simplistic overview, and we'll get more into identifying, you know, what is your differentiator and how to find that key word, a word that you could own in that mind. I mean, we look at speakers. I mean, some of the classic old you know, guys who created this business, a guy like Tony Robbins. I mean, he may be the guy who owns, you know, inspiration, for example, or, you know, where does Zig Ziglar sit in some of these? But now it's like everything is so fragmented. You need to figure out what word you can own, David, and then that gives you a clear differentiator and something that a potential client, prospect, speakers bureau, meeting planner will remember. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Email, for example. Just throwing that one out there. Now, you know, there was another question that I saw today that kind of relates to that is Scott asked, you know, should marketing be materials be about or focused on the audience or appeal to the decision maker, you know, in terms of, you know, what is that message? What is that hot button? Is it really the audience, meaning the people that you would be speaking in front of, or is it the decision maker who actually needs to pull the trigger and hire the speaker for that event? And I think, you know, it's obviously both. And that becomes, that's a tough problem. You know, what problem are you going to solve? Okay, and then look at it for both the audience and the decision maker, and be sure you communicate that clearly. What about you, Sean? I mean, what do you think? Should the materials that you're going to present be to the client be more focused on them, or to the audience, or to the decision maker?
Yeah, I guess a few ideas bouncing around in my head with that one. First thing I would say, you know, as a speaker, I've talked before about how you do have different audiences that you appeal to. So whether, you know, a portion of your website, for instance, you need to have something there that's for the audience, because after they see you speak, that's where they're going to go. And then at the same time, somebody who's a meeting planner, they go to your website, they're going to be looking for something different. So I think you need to have content created for both of them, and make it very easy for each respective audience to find that content. But then in terms of the marketing, I mean, my gut says, you know, if the decision maker is the one you're marketing to, they're the ones that have the power to hire you, I think the first message has to, what you're sending out needs to click with them first. But then once you connect with them, a good meeting planner or a business leader, whoever it is, I use meeting planner in the loosest sense, anyone that's planning a meeting and would hire a speaker, you know, they care about their audience, whether that's their sales force or whether it's their association membership. So I think you connect with the decision maker first, but then from there you show them, here's what I can deliver for your audience, because that's going to matter for them too. And just, you know, one thing that you might even do, if you were to create a campaign, a marketing campaign, maybe somewhere within that campaign you send them a tool or a link to a tool or an article that says, hey, here's something that you might want to share. I thought this might be beneficial for your members, for your sales team, whatever. Feel free to share with them. And you're helping them, you're helping their audience. And then, by the way, if the audience happens to like what you just sent them, then you better believe they're going to report back to the decision maker and say, hey, you know, that was some great stuff. Does that person have any more? That's just some top of head thinking there.
Sure.
But that's a question that it's hard to really give a solid answer there in a couple of minutes, because it is complex and it needs to be thought through. Otherwise, you just end up back in that category of saying too much and it doesn't say anything.
Yeah, that's a challenge, because as I've been harping all during the camp here, that you need to be focused, you need to be single-minded in your message, and when you've got two audiences there, you're the problem you have to solve becomes that much more difficult, but not unobtainable for sure. We'll get more into that as we go through the camp. Did you want to take the next one there?
No. Actually, I was going to ask you if you had another one that jumped out at you.
Well, yeah, Reed had asked, with so much marketing, the marketing world being pushed over to the internet, how does the role of physical, and it got caught, but I'm assuming that he or she meant the role of physical, marketing, you know, traditional, whether that would be printed materials or, you know, cold calling and anything that's not internet related. And one of the things that, watching the evolution of the internet and the evolution of marketing, digital marketing, prior to the internet, we all can remember, instead of our emails getting full, if you were getting mail back in the day, as we like to say, you know, you might have to get a pickup truck to pull in some of the junk mail, as we called it back then. You know, we still get junk email. The United States Postal Service, as we know, is failing right now. They can't make any money. But that actually presents an opportunity to us people marketing, because we're not getting the volume of stuff in our physical mailbox than we are getting in our email box. So when targeting a marketing campaign, just as much as I did these postcards, the physical world, it may be easier to get noticed, provided that people go to their post office box or to their mailbox to get it. So I think that because people are getting less physical mail, you got a great opportunity to stand out. Personal contact by mail is clearly, you can look in the there was a thing in Brand Week not long ago about the direct marketing business and how it really has moved more towards internet. But by the same token, the direct marketing via mail is getting higher retention rates. And the other thing I think is everything should be integrated. So it's not a you can do one or the other. I think I have this discipline called touch point marketing, and you need to identify what are the most effective touch points for your particular product or service. So mail may be traditional physical mail would be great, but so are phone calls. I mean, personal contact puts a voice and is one step towards building that relationship better. Your voice, your name, your message. This is all part of that consistency thing that is so important.
I would agree with that. I think, in that video I created, I showed this stack of materials, which was really just the tip of the iceberg of speaker materials I received. And at first glance, you might think, well, okay, I'm not going to send anything in the mail. But you're right. That's what happens. You go in that pile if there's nothing that really connects or captures attention or stands out. But if you can stand out from the crowd, then you can definitely make an impact that way compared to an email. I get a lot more email now than anything else. And, I say this, I guess, my mailbox may be full of materials by saying this next week, but if you really take the time to put something creative and intentional together, I love to receive that because I do this because I love working with speakers. I don't want to ever come across, I think that's the danger for me being the quote bureau guy, is that some bureaus are very standoffish, and as much as I have to say, we can't look at all your materials, I'm rooting for your success as a speaker. That's why I created Succeed Speaking, and we're continuing to carve out new services and resources to help speakers, because I know there are better ways I can help you. Where the Speakers Bureau falls short, there are other things we can do. But as a Speakers Bureau, if you want to get in with a bureau, and I still say this applies to any planner, if you're intentional and create that plan and do what Alan's talking about here with the direct mail campaign, if it doesn't look like everybody else's materials that they're mailing, then yeah, that's a great way to stand out.
It's funny, and Reed, you'll appreciate this, that we all know who Yahoo is, right? They are competing head to head a lot with Google in terms of online advertising, and as a marketing agency that I run here, in addition to my speaking business, I get materials from those companies looking to target advertising agencies. And did Yahoo send me an email and tell me all the great things about their particular ad program? No, I actually got three things in the mail from Yahoo, and it culminated with this mailing tube that was about 8 inches. And when I opened it up, there was a letter in there. There was a cigarette lighter USB charger dealie that I could use in my car, and a flag with a platform that touted the theme of their campaign. It related to connecting with the audience, which related to connecting your cell phone so you could charge it in your car and everything. So even if Yahoo, which is born in the digital internet age, uses direct mail, but effective with a theme and a plan. It's sitting here right on my desk. I look at that. I haven't done any business with Yahoo, but it was a very effective campaign. I looked at it as something creative. So one of the largest internet companies uses mail, it certainly can be effective, done right.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, I would say we're now about 15 minutes past time, so I want to take one more question, but save this to the end, and I'll let you close out, Alan, with kind of we've covered so much. I want to sum it up. Somebody asked a question. It was Dwayne, actually. He asked, you know, he's ready to go out there as a speaker, and he said, you know, what is the one thing I should do today? And I want you at the end of this call, I want to kind of ask you to give everybody one, two, three things, whatever you feel that you can, they can take and act, you know, take action on after this call today. But before we get to that, before I turn that over to you, I just want to say again, on Thursday, when we look at these marketing materials, at your materials, I hope you'll send them in. Send me an email to the materials@summermarketingcamp.com, and I'll get those to Alan, and we'll look at those. And by the way, the deadline for that is noon central tomorrow, Wednesday, so that'll give us a chance to review them, take a peek at them in advance. But our goal there is not to be critical and tear people apart. It's all about if we see some obvious mistakes that you could correct easily, or some things that you could improve upon, it's all about helping you. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. And we're in a protected environment here. We're all speakers. We're all going about the same thing. That's trying to build a better business and speak more. So I just want you to know that you can feel safe about sending those in. And then, yeah, you know, throughout the rest of the camp, I guess, again, I know that speakers are, you know, marketing is not, you're not just sitting around probably thinking, man, I'd love to learn about marketing. You'd probably much more, you'd rather learn about your topic or whatever it is, practice your speech, or maybe it's just go play golf. But throughout the rest of this camp, as Alan alluded to earlier, what we want to do is really give you a system, give you steps so you can easily market yourself better, and then as a result of that, speak more. So Alan, I'll let you touch on that if you want to, but then, you know, give people some action steps, and then I'll look forward to seeing everybody Thursday, or we both will. Actually, let me just insert one other thing. Now that you've been on this program, if there's anybody else out there just knowing what, you know, knowing the headaches that marketing causes for speakers, if there's anyone out there that you know that you feel would benefit from this program, you know, direct them to summermarketingcamp.com. They can sign up, and we'll make sure they get a copy of the recording of today's call, and then they'll be in the queue so they can attend Thursday and any of the other sessions if they choose to. But we're really doing this to help speakers, and I think I'm biased, of course, but I think this is such a unique program. And so important. That's why I'm passionate about it. That's, you know, I'm taking time away from serving clients and other things I could be doing, and I've got it all covered, so don't worry. But that's just a statement about how much I believe in this topic and how much it can help speakers. So that's all I wanted to say. Now, Alan, let me turn it back to you and wrap this up with some action steps, and then we'll see everybody again on Thursday.
Perfect. You know, so not that when you're at camp you have homework, but really there's so much information we've packed into here, and we can get into so much detail on so many of these things that in an hour, and even we've pushed it an hour and 15, 20 minutes, it's difficult to, you know, really get into the meat of this. So I hope most of you will stick around as we go more into the camp, because I'm going to highlight some effective methodologies and processes, best practices that will help you, you know, craft a better marketing campaign. But for right now, if you're between now and even Thursday, this is something very simple I think all of us should do, need to do, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. And I ask you to do these three things. Just really look deep down into your business, into your speaking, into your program, your specialty, and really – drill down to what is the key benefit that you provide, and understand that benefit has to be relevant and, you know, something that appeals to your audience. So find that benefit first, okay? Drill it down, and maybe even if you can get to that one word or phrase, what is the key benefit that you provide in overall your business? And then you have to look at who your audience is. So just try to make a psychographic or a demographic profile. And when I say psychographic, you know, it may be, you know, people that, chocolate ice cream. I mean, obviously that's one of many little psychographic profiles. Maybe they're sports fans. Maybe they're that's a, you know, not a concrete thing. And then demographically, certainly, are you appealing to a male audience, a female audience, both? Are you looking at a particular age group? You know, get an idea of who your customer really is. And if these are bullet items, and don't pain yourself by that, but write those down. You've got your message benefit written down. Now you've got your target audience fairly well defined. You know, it can be loose, it can be broad, but try to be as detailed as you can. And then the last thing is, since you've got the benefit, you know your audience, you know that audience, that benefit is something that this particular audience needs or should need. Now I want you to write an ideal testimonial. If you came into this company or presented to this group and gave your talk, your keynote, your workshop, I want you to write a ideal testimonial that particular target audience would write. And by doing that, you know, this is as if they were to give you, you know, kudos and thank you and give you a reference. Go ahead and write it. And as you look at that, you're going to find there's some key things that I would call supporting messages that will help you as you put your marketing campaign together. Because now you know what you want people to say after they have seen and experienced your particular talk. And with that ideal testimonial in hand, make sure that all your marketing, all your material reinforces those points. And I think you'll find that being consistent in all of that will improve your marketing, you know, 200%, because too often we try to say too much. And I think given that, that's a fairly simple task, although maybe for me, but drill into that and you'll really improve quite a bit. Consistency, focus, and be benefit driven. I think that's it, Sean. That would be a great thing for everybody to do.
I think that's great. You've outlined it perfectly. So, Alan, thank you again for collaborating on this. I'm excited about the rest of the camp. I appreciate you being here. And thanks to everyone for attending. I hope you've enjoyed this first session of Summer Marketing Camp, and I can't wait to move on into the other sessions. But we'll see you on Thursday. Watch for your email with access details there. Submit your materials. But until then, that concludes our first session of Summer Marketing Camp. And we'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks for coming.